Invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20 to start out with. We're going to be looking at several other passages of Scripture as well, but we'll start out with Exodus chapter 20. As I mentioned in the introductory message to the series, the first one, there is a danger of misunderstanding the purpose of the Ten Commandments because of the way many unsaved people and even saved people view the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. They view it as a means of earning some kind of favor with God if they even attempt to keep some of it. We learned in the introductory message that there are at least four purposes for the Old Testament law, which includes the Ten Commandments. And I want us to keep this in mind as we go through the Ten Commandments in the series. The first purpose for the Old Testament law was to teach God's standard, which, as you know, is absolute perfection. The second was to teach the sinfulness of man. He cannot keep even these simple Ten Commands. Number three, to bring man to the conclusion that a mediator was needed if sinful man was ever to approach a holy God. And fourthly, to give redeemed men a guide to transformed living, enabled by the Holy Spirit. So without Christ, you cannot keep the Ten Commandments. With Christ, by his enablement, you can. So we learned that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God come in the flesh, Emmanuel, perfectly fulfilled all the law for us and died on the cross to pay the penalty for all our sin, our failure to keep the law of God, so that any who repent of their sin and put their complete faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation receive forgiveness of sins, receive his credited righteousness, and receive eternal life. We learn finally that redeemed men are now enabled to keep the law through the power of Christ. Now this morning we come to a commandment that is greatly misunderstood by many Christians. I trust the Lord will enable us to sort out the confusion and see the great truth that this law was teaching. May we live this truth in a way that glorifies our Lord and Savior. Would you follow along in your Bible as I read our text for us once again, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The first important principle we must understand is that this commandment was meant primarily for the nation of Israel. This is the only commandment that is not restated and confirmed in the New Testament for Christians. All the other commandments are reinforced in some way by Christ or the apostles. Notice these passages in the New Testament that refer to the Ten Commandments. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 15? Matthew chapter 15, we're going to read verses 3 through 8. Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. And he answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God,' he is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. That's one of the commandments that is restated by the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? Romans chapter 13, flipping several chapters further, verse 9. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Notice that in none of these references to the Ten Commandments, which are at the same time directed to Christians, is there any mention of the Sabbath. In fact, the Lord Jesus actually deliberately created opportunities to show the wrong weight and emphasis the Pharisees had placed on this and other ceremonial laws, as opposed to God's universal moral law found in the other nine commandments and which reflect his character. Matthew chapter 12. Would you turn there with me? We're going to read verses 1 through 13. So Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions, how he entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat nor for those with him, but for the priests alone? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Departing from there, he went into their synagogue. And a man was there whose hand was withered, and they questioned Jesus, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. The fact is, the Sabbath day was meant to remind Israel that God was the creator. Notice what God said in conjunction with giving this commandment back in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." By the way, isn't it interesting that godless evolutionists cannot account for a seven-day week? Think about that for a bit. The decimal system makes sense since we have 10 fingers and 10 toes. So if evolution were true, why didn't man come up with a 10-day week instead of a 7-day week? Well, the answer is that God instituted a 7-day week at the time he completed the creation of the universe, about 6,000 years ago. So the Sabbath day was meant to remind Israel that God was the creator. The Sabbath day was also meant to teach Israel and all who loved God the need for one day of rest from labor out of every 7 days. Exodus chapter 20, again, verses 9 and 10. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. And then in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The New Testament actually teaches against ceremonial Sabbath keeping. Rather, it teaches practicing the intent and spirit of the Sabbath. The Apostle Paul, a former Pharisee, exposed the error of hanging on to Old Testament ceremonial observances, which were meant to be fulfilled in and by Christ, and therefore rendered no longer necessary, and definitely not efficacious for gaining God's favor. Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, Paul writes this, one person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not, for the Lord he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. In fact, the entire church, soon after Christ's resurrection, began to set aside Sunday rather than Saturday as a special day to meet together for worship and edification. Notice the progression of this practice in the following verses. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, Sunday, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. So when did the Lord Jesus rise from the grave? Sunday. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, Sunday, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. And then Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet, and then it goes on. The point is, on the Lord's day. You can see here that by the time Acts chapter 20, verse 7 was written, the church was gathering together on Sunday, the first day of the week. The reference to breaking of bread indicates the observance of the Lord's Supper. Around the same time period, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, that offerings were being taken on Sunday, the first day of the week, which logically would happen when the church was gathering together for worship. And sometime before Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 was written, Sunday was called the Lord's Day by believers. So now that we've established the fact that the Sabbath day, especially the ceremonial observance of it, was meant for Israel's benefit, what does this ceremonial commandment then teach the New Testament believer? First of all, this commandment, like all other ceremonial commandments, pointed to Christ. Salvation is not of works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. In Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it, believing God, was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Then in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Justified here is just declared righteous. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And verse 28, for we maintain that a man is justified, declared righteous, by faith, apart from the works of the law. So the Bible is very clear that salvation is not of works. Rather, salvation is a resting on, depending on, trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. John chapter 19, verse 30, therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. One Greek word, tetelestai. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then Hebrews chapter 10, verses 18 through 23. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Not only does this commandment point to the resting on Christ alone for salvation from sin and hell, this Sabbath day commandment furthermore points to the rest for the believer in his daily walk with Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. And keep that in mind as we also look at Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. The rest in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11 refers to the no longer I, but Christ life taught in Galatians 2, verse 20, and Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. This rest is a ceasing from your own works, from your effort, the effort of your flesh or self. Instead, it is a daily living by faith. In other words, by trusting in and depending on the Lord Jesus Christ to live his life of victory through you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You received Christ Jesus the Lord by resting in what he did for you. It is finished, Jesus cried. He did it all for you. But just as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord by resting in, trusting in him alone, so walk in him. That means now that you're saved, walk your daily life by depending on him, resting in him. In other words, just like you received Christ, so walk in him by faith. Now, not only does this commandment point to the resting on Christ alone for salvation from sin and hell, and then resting in Christ by letting him live his life of victory through you, this commandment finally points to the rest for the saints, saved ones, of all dispensations in heaven. In a sense, heaven is a rest from the troubles and trials of this earthly life. On the other hand, we're told that we will serve the Lord in heaven, but there will no longer be the curse there. That means that there will be no stress. That means that all service for the Lord will be a source of unending pleasure and interest, especially since we will be fellowshipping with him and enjoying his presence forever. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And then in Revelation chapter 22, verse 3, there will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. By the way, the word serve here in Revelation 22:3 does not translate the usual Greek word for serve, which translates the Greek word douleuo. This rare Greek word in Revelation 22 is latruo, translated serve in Revelation 22, actually refers to the service of worship. Serving the Lord for eternity will be a joyful act of worship. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Before I close this message with prayer, would you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart through his word that you've just heard? Perhaps the Lord is speaking to your heart, Christian. Have you entered into the rest of faith? Are you living in daily, constant dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you still trying to live the Christian life in your own strength? If you realize you've never entered into the rest of complete dependence on Christ alone to live his life of victory over sin and self, would you make that decision right now to do so? I remember years ago when I was reading a book that brought out this wonderful truth. And I realized that I had been trying with all my heart and effort to live the Christian life in the power of the flesh. I didn't know any better. But as I was reading that book that pointed out this wonderful truth about rest, the Sabbath rest of a Christian, of depending alone on Christ, resting in him, trusting him, depending on him, what a difference that made in my life. Instead of feeling like a constant failure, because think about it, you cannot live the Christian life in the power of your own flesh. You will have up days and down days, and mostly down days. You will have some that appears to be victories, but then you have a lot of failures. Oh, listen, rest in Christ. Trust him. Let him live his life of victory through you. If you're in the auditorium and you would like me to pray for you that God will strengthen your resolve to do this, would you let me know by raising your hand and then putting it down? Pastor, the Lord's speaking to my heart about resting in Christ. And maybe I haven't understood it fully before, but I believe I do now. I want to rest in Christ. I've rested in him for salvation, but I've been trying to live the Christian life in my own power. But by God's grace, I want to begin to rest in Christ, to live the Christian life in his power, by his enablement. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone whose hearts the Lord's touched about that today? God bless you. Amen. 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 Perhaps you're here today without Christ, still trying to earn heaven by your own good works. Do you understand now that God will never accept your good works as payment for your sins? Do you understand now that God will only accept what Christ has paid on the cross of Calvary on your behalf? If you will humble yourself and repent and rest on Christ, trust in Christ alone for salvation from sin and hell. If you want to be saved from your sins, would like me to pray for you that God will strengthen you to follow through with your decision and talk with me after this message. And let me show you from the Bible how to make sure of salvation. Then would you let me know by raising your hand and then putting it down if you're here in the auditorium. If you're on Zoom or listening later on our website, would you contact me so that I can show you from the Bible how to come to Christ for salvation? If you're here in the auditorium and would like me to help you follow through with your decision, whatever it may be, would you talk with me after the service? I'll be available. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you have shown us in your word today. Thank you for putting into place the Sabbath day for Israel, not only to teach and remind everyone of creation, that you created everything in 6 days and then rested on the seventh. But as we look back now as Christians on what you were teaching through the Sabbath, that we are reminded that we are to rest in Christ, not only for salvation, but for living the Christian life. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful truth. May you bring it home to our hearts fully and daily so that we would not be tempted to fall back on the flesh to live the Christian life, but would realize that we can only do it through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who illumines our mind so that we can understand your word. And I pray, Father, if there's anyone listening to this message, either today or in future days as they go to our website, I pray, Father, that you would bring them to understand their need to trust you for salvation, to rest in what you have done, and then to live the Christian life by resting in you, depending on you, trusting in you. And Lord, now I pray that you would use us to be a blessing to others, a glory to your name, and an encouragement to those who are having difficulty living the Christian life. May we share with them the truth that we've learned today, or have been reminded of today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.